Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody. You all. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to look this morning. Floyd stole my thunder last week, and I thought, well, I shouldn't speak about this. We're going to look in chapter 12, but I pondered it all week, studied, and the Lord seemed to tell me to take a little bravery on my part to follow on with some of the things Floyd shared last week. So let's read a few verses, and then we'll try to set the stage, the foundation, this morning. And this morning we want to talk about really the what we've come to. What have I come to? What have we come to? And isn't it wonderful that those words are in the Scripture? What I've come to and what I've not come to. I'm so glad that the Bible can be that specific. It's important that we know where we've come. Because if we are a Christian, I almost thought, well, gee, I could ask maybe a show of hands, but I won't. If you're a Christian, you've come to something. Now, if you're not a Christian, you've come to something else. You've come and you are under the wrath of God. If you do not know Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. Does that offend anybody? It's the truth. If you do not know Christ, the wrath of God rests upon you. But if you know Jesus, you've come to something. Now, I'm going to assume we're all Christians here. I know everyone here. The faces are familiar, so we're all Christians. So good. I'm talking to family. I'm talking to those of us who have come somewhere. And the Bible says that we've arrived. See, some of us have the idea that Christianity is something that is making me arrive at something. And in a sense, that's true. But in a greater sense, we've actually already come. And Hebrews makes this very clear. And sometimes we can miss it. Or we can forget it. Or we don't see it. It's sort of like when the Lord healed the man that was blind. I always remember one of the few things that I appreciate out of a commentary was a commentator who said that when the Lord laid hands on that blind man, and remember what the Lord said, he laid hands on him and he asked him what he saw. What did the man say that he saw?
Men like trees
walking. And one commentator said the Lord's power was waning. Big crowd, all the crowds, all the things that were going on, his power was weakened. And of course, I just can't buy that. Over time, I've come to appreciate that we all need a second, third, fourth, numerous touches from the Lord so that we know where we've come. Because we forget and we don't see. And seeing is a key element in knowing where we've come. And Floyd talked about this last week, because Abraham saw. What did he see? Remember?
The builder and maker is God.
Everybody hear that? Abraham saw a city whose builder and maker was God. That's the most important thing that Floyd, I think, said last Sunday morning. He wandered around looking for a city that has foundations. Actually, the word is he waited for a city whose builder or who has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Are we waiting? I'm waiting. Sometimes I don't wait too well. My eyes are not quite open. I'm not quite awake, but I am waiting for that city. So the Bible, Hebrews in particular, tells us where we've come. And this is very important because I want to know where I'm at. I just put a very expensive GPS in my car out there. Why? I want to know where I am at all times. Even if I'm not going anywhere, I love to just look at the map.
Not while you're driving.
Oh, yes. I'm glancing. And then I said, that's not good enough. So I put a camera in my license plate. Now I can push a button and I can look behind me. Why? I don't know. It's useless. Because I can. Where have we come? Where this morning has God brought us? And I think we will all of us find that it's wonderful. But it will require faith. Maybe a little more faith than we actually have, some of us have. Maybe we already have enough faith to see that it's really true. But the Lord wants us to see where we are. So let's read here in chapter 12, verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they, it's in parentheses now, a little parenthetical here, he's enlarging on it. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that even Moses was frightened by this. Remember, Moses had a very peculiar revelation of God up until this point. The I am, the fiery bush. Even Moses was struck and shook with fear. And that's important. Don't think that we wouldn't have done the same thing. We would have rocked, shook with fear. Because even Moses, and I am exceedingly afraid and tremble, he said, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel. Now let's read a few more verses. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Go backwards a little bit and remind ourselves what Floyd read last week. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now can you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We'll say a couple things about that in a minute. Let's Look now at Ezekiel chapter 40. Thank you for your patience. Ezekiel chapter 40, verse 1. In the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was captured, on the very same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there. In the visions of God, he took me into the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain, on it toward the south. So he was in captivity, looking south. What would he, assuming he had something high enough, let's get a perspective, assuming he was standing on something literally high enough, and he's looking south from Babylon, what would he have been looking at? What's in the south of Babylon? Babylon's up north. What's in the south? Israel was in the south. So he was in captivity. So the idea is that he's on a high mountain, he's looking south, and he's seeing the land. He's seeing Israel. So it says he was on a very high mountain, on it toward the south, and was something like the structure of a city. Now, in Ephesians, which I think is an unusual thing here, back to Ephesians here, chapter 2, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple, and we are being built together. Isn't it interesting that we have a temple that is growing, and we are being built? What do we normally think about when we think about a temple, if we're going to construct it? It's not growing, it's what? It's being built. It's reversed. We, in whom you are being built together, and that we are growing into a holy temple. This is an organic, if you will, this is an organic event that takes place. There is a building work, but it's not with mortar and brick. It's not with the external things that we see with our eyes. And there lies the problem. This is where we've come. We've come to something that cannot be measured. It can be measured, and we'll talk about that a little bit. It can be measured, but it's a different kind of, first of all, it's a different type of measurement, and it's an inward measurement. It's not measured from the outside. So I think that's interesting wording here in Ephesians, that Paul says that we are growing into a holy temple, but we are being built together. God just doesn't think how we think, especially when it comes to things in this matter of where we have come this morning. And having our eyes open to the reality, the spiritual reality of where our citizenship is. And I think the Lord has been and will, as we live, however long that we live, to teach us that we are not to be grounded in this world. We are not to depend at all on the methods of this world. And we're going to talk in a minute about that temple or that house that they saw, that Ezekiel saw, because there was a very clear distance between this world and the heavenly world of which you and I have come. Sometimes we think that certain methods, if they work here, they work there. The scripture makes very clear that God has a way, like temples that grow and people that are being built together, is just simply in the human mind doesn't make sense. Buildings don't grow, they get built. In this plane. In spirituality, though, in heavenly things, God is building a temple, but it's growing. It's not being built. And it's growing out of the life, the real life of Christ in every one of us. for good or for bad. Now, what do I mean by that? The less we have, the less we give of ourselves to the Lord, the less material he's got. I believe that we can hold back giving ourselves to the Lord, and therefore his material is limited. He does not have, without our permission and our consent and our cooperation, he can't do the work. So that growing, which he calls growing, we would call it building, is really a growing thing. And this growing thing cannot be faked. You either have the affections for Christ, you and I have those affections, or we don't. Now, I come up too short every day on this matter, most recently especially, that my affections, I know all the Christian things, all the Christian words. I know my Bible pretty good. And last time I spoke, I shared a few messages on the King. My hand is as a ready writer. Are my affections for the King? So I think we are in the face right now in our country in a horrific shaking. And I don't think, unfortunately, and I hate to even say it, and I say it to myself, you haven't seen anything yet. You think you've seen filth on television and the movies? You haven't seen anything yet. You think you have seen the wholesale slaughter of the unborn? You haven't seen anything yet. But in the midst of all of it, I have come. You have come. Now, why would the Lord do this? I think because for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is to show that in the midst of all of this, all of that ruin, he's building something. Something that isn't just in the future, but something that we, I hope, every one of us are a vital part of as we sit here this morning. I'm in it. I've come. Now, in another verse that Paul says, and I want to try to pull this all together, because this thing about the city, the Bible begins in a garden, ends in a city. But the Bible talks a lot over and over again about cities, dwellings, a place where people cohabitate together. So I think God uses this picture for us because he has to use it in order to communicate what's on his heart. So Paul says in Philippians, for our citizenship is in heaven. Wow. Not only am I come to Mount Zion, but my citizenship. Now, I'm proud, you may have noticed, I'm very proud to be an American. I can hardly talk about it, but that's not my real citizenship. Temporarily, I'm a citizen of the United States. And I have to take all the sorrow of its fall. But what do you expect? Men are men. They're sinful. But Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly, here's that word, wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who will transform our lowly bodies and make it conformed to his glorious body. So our citizenship is in heaven. Even while we live here, we have arrived, according to Hebrews 12, we have arrived where there are certain things that are going on, and we may not even be aware of it. They're going on right now. This morning, as we are meeting, we are surrounded by a company. We are surrounded by angels. God himself is here. Does that not thrill you? It thrills me. I better have on the right clothes. What am I clothed with? What are you clothed with? Righteousness, the only righteousness, the blood of Christ. But I'm here. You are here. Now, this is not just a figment of our imagination. The scripture makes very clear, and the Hebrew writer, like none other, makes very clear that there is a contrast of these two worlds. Sort of like battling civilizations in conflict. Actually, there is no battle. I'm convinced of it. Christ's kingdom is over all. So what is the first thing when we say we've not come? What was part? Just let's list a couple of things about that first place where our brethren, let's call them our brethren, the Israelites. What's the first thing that can characterize where they were, what they were?
They were far off and were close.
That's a good one. So far off. What else? How about this one? Everything was according to sense. Everything was according to certain days on the calendar. Everything was according to some particular time and place. I don't know how we list it, but it's all physical. It's all what they could see. The whole world is still stuck on that. It's what I have. That's what matters about me. And of course, Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the things that he owns. You really cannot tell a man by what he owns. Now, Nike may think they may take dispute with that, but it's the truth. The Bible says very clearly that the things of time and sense are temporary. The things that are not seen are what?
Eternal.
Permanent. Intrinsic. They do not fade away. That's where we've come. So, they were far off. Everything was on the calendar. Everything was according to what they did. The smoke, the fire. The writer describes it, that this mountain that may be touched and burned with fire, blackness and doom is actually in the Greek, the doom. That was that period. It's what I see, in other words, with my eyes. What I feel with my hand or my senses. That's not where you and I have come. Now let's look at where we have come this morning, and then we'll go to, hopefully, to Ezekiel and look at some things that I think are very relevant to just our salvation, just us living in this world, our separation from the world. Do you know how separated from the world you and I are? You know, we talk about, well, there needs to be sanctification. Sanctification means what?
Separation.
Do you know that if you are birthed by the Holy Spirit, you are by very nature now separate from this world? You've been separated. You and I have been set apart. The profane and the sacred. Now, is the Lord working more of that? Absolutely. I'm not saying that this is all done perfectly. There are some who said, well, perfectly sanctified. In other words, I can be completely free of the world. I personally don't buy that. I don't think it can happen. Certainly, I can't do it. Maybe there's somebody else, but I can't do it. I don't see myself ever being. But There's a separation that exists between us that is based upon the birth, the new birth. We are so far separated from the world in our previous life that Paul said in one place, he said, so once were you, and he went down the list, but now you've been purchased. Now you've been bought. And he has a whole list. That's where you've come. That's where I've come. So he says in verse 22 of Hebrews 12, he says, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. This is the city Abraham looked for, waited for. My goodness, this is it. Did you know that you'd arrived? Had it dawned on you that you'd arrived? Do you need reminder that you've arrived? You're in Zion. And this Zion is far better than any little plot of land, I assure you. And I don't want to offend anybody. There may be something relevant to Palestine. Praise the Lord. And I mean that. But have I arrived in Mount Zion now? Do I know that I've come to Mount Zion, the real Zion? If we are the Lord's, that's where we are. In all of our difficulty and our weakness and our failings and our failure, we're in Mount Zion. The heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, okay. So you have the heavenly. I'll just abbreviate. You have the heavenly, and you also have the physical. So there's a difference. In Scripture, there is a difference. There is a physical Jerusalem. The Hebrew writer, I will just point it out, says a heavenly Jerusalem. Not of this world. Not like any city that we know on the planet called Jerusalem. This one is heavenly. To an innumerable company of angels. Now that is amazing. Innumerable. You can't count them. We come there. Each one of us, I like what Floyd shared, and I'll paraphrase last week, that he kind of stole what I wanted to say in this regard. And I'll just paraphrase and how I heard it. We're right where the Lord wants us. You have problems. You have things that are putting stress and difficulty. You're right where the Lord wants you. He's with you. I heard him say that last week, or something like that, and it's as though I was the only person in the room. So an innumerable company of angels, we are protected and guarded according to the word, according to the will of God. He's put a hedge around us. And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. My name is registered in heaven. Your name is in heaven. It's registered. It's in a book. I like in Revelation where it says the what were opened. You remember? We just studied it. Huh? The books were opened. Someday the books are going to be opened. The Lord is going to judge this universe. The books will be opened. My name will be in the book of life. It may not be in any other book. I don't know what other books are there. There'll probably be a book of martyr. I don't know. A book of, I don't know. The Lord writes books. And those books have a special recognition. Yes, God recognizes particular service on his behalf. He does not forget. But my name is written in the book of life, registered in heaven. I'm registered with the DMV too, but I'm registered in heaven. This is where we've come. This morning, as we sit here, no matter what our problems are, what our difficulties are, even our apathy, even our, I was reading Psalm 40 this morning, as the deer know it's, thank the Lord for iPad. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of the hosts. My song longs, yes, even faints. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. This is from the sons of Korah. And swallows, everyone ever seen a swallow? How they behave? They're like this. They're all over the place. And they poop like crazy. They just go nuts. They make a horrible mess. And they're like this. And I think that the writer says where the swallow a nest for herself. I'm a swallow. Excessive, compulsive. That's what I am. Never find a place for rest. Or hard to find a place. Yet, right here in this city that the writer talks about, I have rest. You have rest. We have come. Are you living in the good of it? Do you know it? Do I know it? So the church of the firstborn, to God, the judge of all. Aren't you glad God is judge? I'm not afraid of that. I am afraid of it, but if you understand, I'm glad that he's judge. He knows what's right. His is without any mistakes. It's not about being fair. It's about being right. I'm glad that God is judge. To the spirits of just men made perfect. It almost makes you wonder that perhaps the spirits of brothers and sisters who have gone on have some, I got to be careful here, they are not completely disconnected from us. Is that fair? We'll see. Someday I'll see. But I won't be able to tell you about it. But yet the writer here says that we are in the presence of just men, the spirits of just men made perfect. Made perfect by death, their own death. Death is a step into eternity for the Christian. It's not the end. We are made complete, and that's the word, not perfect in the sense of, but made complete. Our death, our passing, will complete our journey. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. He's the mediator. In other words, he is the one that is central to all of this. This morning as we broke bread around this table, partook of these elements. The Lord is near. Do we know that? Are we conscious of it? Someone was conscious of it because we got an encouragement to do something a little out of the ordinary, but not to quench the spirit. Because I believe that when the brothers pray and we commit the meeting to the Lord, I believe he, most of the time in this meeting, the Lord has control of it. May not be as exciting as some of us think. It may not be as emotional, but the Lord has taken control by his grace. Now, I'd like us to look at Ezekiel for a few minutes here, because I think Ezekiel illustrates for us some things that are a part of this matter of where I've come. The first thing that the writer says, and we read it, is that I was put up on a high mountain and I saw what looked like a city. Now, if it looked like a city, does that mean for certain that it was a city? You have to answer. No. The writer, in this case, Ezekiel, could only describe what it looked like him to be. Again, God in Scripture uses these things based on parables are like that. They are to help us to understand the message he's trying to get across. I do not believe that this was like any city that is among men. And there's only one city that is not like a city among men, and that's the church. That's Mount Zion. The thing we've come to is unlike anything known to mankind. You cannot explain it. You can only come into it and begin to see it by a birth of the Holy Spirit. There is no other way. It's not explained by doctrine. It's not explained by some teaching. It can only come to us as the Lord is, again, Floyd said last week, a revelation. You know, a couple times Floyd used, remember what he used, the monument he used last week, the example? Somebody tell me? Yeah, that only the artist could see something that wasn't there. Now, being around artists in this meeting for the last 30 years has enlarged my life, because I am an oaf. I do not see things the way artists see them. But his illustration was incredible. Seeing is everything. Spiritual eyes, having our eyes opened, is sometimes our greatest need. Our greatest need is not more money, not less trouble, not better grades, not better kids, not a better car, not any of the best thing we can have from the Lord is to have our eyes opened to his presence in our life. So when Ezekiel, and by the way, I like how he describes in verse 1, he says, on the 25th year of our captivity, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, in the 7th hour, 34 minutes and 10 seconds. Now, he doesn't write that. I'm adding it, but that's the idea. There was a moment in time when Ezekiel's eyes were opened. I can remember the place on the 605 freeway at the 10 when the Lord spoke to me about something in 1974. I knew exactly what he wanted from me for that moment. And by the way, he doesn't speak very often like that to us, but occasionally he does. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he does that? And if he doesn't, you need to pray that he will. Because I still drive by that place 35 years, 37 years later, and I can remember. Lord, you told me this. Now, that problem that I had is long come and gone. But my relationship with him has been enhanced continually for 37 years because of that event. Are you following me? No single event with the Lord. It may be one event that where he speaks, but that speaking has an impact on everything that happens from then on. So this is what happened, I think, with Ezekiel. He could remember at 7:30 in the afternoon, the Lord spoke to me and showed me. I saw visions of God. And it changed his life. Now, the first thing he sees here is that there was a man. Let's look at it. Ezekiel chapter 40, and we're looking at verse 3. And he took me there, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze. He had a line of flax and a measuring rod in his hand, and he stood in the gateway. Jesus is the door in the gateway. He has a measuring line. You know, the Lord is measuring us. My employer measures me as to whether I do the job. Christ is measuring me. Is that okay with us? He's measuring us. What is he measuring for? What is he measuring? I believe he is measuring for that which has been put into our hearts of him. The measure and the stature of Christ, Paul says, referring to the gifts, why they are there, until we all come to the stature and the full maturity of the man. So this city that he's looking at, there's a man standing at the gateway. He's in bronze. He's like bronze. And he has a flax line that he measures with. I'm measuring things now in my new job, because we put in test chambers. And I take my tape measure. And I'm not a very precise personality, so it's really been a challenge. I said, I got to really improve measuring and that sort of thing, because I'm a clumsy personality with that sort of thing. So I said, what can I do to improve this? Because so I went out and bought a laser measurer. Neil is shaking his head. They're not everything they're cut out to be. But I went out and I tried. I said, geez, but I found out you got to hold it steady. You got to get on the floor. It's accurate to the 16th of an inch, but it's not sufficient. So I struggle with that, with just measuring. But I have to do a lot of measuring. Christ is measuring us. The Lord Jesus this morning was measuring us as his children, as those in his household. Where's my heart? Where was I? Am I here or somewhere else? This is what he's measuring. He stands at the gateway of this temple, and he measures us. May the Lord show us what those words mean. So the writer talks for 2-3 chapters about, he goes around measuring everything. Measures the doorway, measures the post, measures this, measures that. And you wonder, geez, what is that all about? Oh, it's got to be a physical temple. It's got to be. A lot of commentators have said, oh, it's the new city. Brothers and sisters, this is a city that is far exceeds. First of all, it looked like a city. But this measuring that Christ is doing is that heavenly work that's being done by him. And usually it's in secret. It's not being done where other people see it. Now let's look in chapter 20, 22, and verse 20. Because I want us to just see one of those verses that I alluded to earlier. What is the difference between us and the world? He measured it on the four sides. He came to the west side and measured it. And he's measuring outside of the temple, okay? And he measured it on the four sides, and it had a wall all around, 500 cubits long and 500 cubits wide, to separate the holy areas from the common. Roughly, that's about 875 feet in real terms. Now, it's not that far, but the point is that there is a huge separation between us and the world. When we are in Christ, there is a huge separation because of the life. Because of what's happened to us, we've been reconstituted. Now, why is this important? Why am I making a point? The reason that I'm making a point, walls are put in to keep things from the outside from getting in and to define what's on the inside. One of the greatest dangers for the church, and has been for 1900 years, is somehow taking what's on the outside and bringing it in and saying, this would be good for us. This is the way we ought to do it. When the Lord has made a very clear separation between us and this world. Why? Because he doesn't need the ways of the world. He doesn't need its power, its money, its influence, its psychology. He doesn't need it. When we have come to Mount Zion, we have all that we need. That sounds so trite, but it's incredibly true. We have come to a place where there is no need for anything from the outside to come in. Now, in chapter 43, let's look at a couple of other things. Son of man, the man says to Ezekiel, Son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel that they may be ashamed of their iniquity, and let them measure the pattern. So here, as we've been talking about this man who measured, and he says, tell Israel. And let's just say for the moment, it's referring to not only ancient Israel, but it's referring to all of us, all of God's people. What are we to be ashamed of? That we compare ourselves to the world. We should be ashamed of it. Now, you can't be ashamed of something that you don't see. And I'm not suggesting that for one minute, but in my heart, there is, as Paul says, who glory in their shame. What are they what is the thing that they're glorying in that is shameful? Is it their crude living? No, I wish it was that clear. Very often, it isn't crude living. What it is taking the things of this world that are good and saying that this belongs in the city. And it doesn't. It has no part. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done and make known to them the design of the house, and its arrangements, its exits, its entrances. We didn't go through all of the chat. He measured everything. Do you realize how much we need one another? Corinthians says that we are members, in particular, members of one another. That's what the whole measuring part of what he taught. We really need each other. Not only to balance one another out, okay, or to sort of a lot of the correction that goes on in my life from brothers and sisters, they don't even realize it. They're just correcting me because I need correcting, and they say something that adjusts me. We need each other. So we're leaving a lot out here, but to qualify what he says, its exits, its entrances, its entire design, all of its ordinances, all of these things that are in the house are far more wonderful than what's out in the world. The problem is, we bring in the world, we want it to be like we want it to be, comparing it to the world, because we haven't seen the beauty of the real thing. We don't realize completely where we've come. And then in verse 12, he says, this is the law of the house. You want a law? Don't bring in the world. That's the law. And what I'm trying to say is, you cannot adapt the things of this world and bring them into the church and think that you will build the church. It will not happen. There is a distance of 875 feet. I'm just using that as a figurative number. There was a huge gap. It's a void. The two do not mix. I would rather that we sat here waiting on the Lord, not knowing what to do, than to just do anything, if the Lord has not guided us. Because we've come to Mount Zion. I've only got just a few minutes. Let's look in chapter 44, verse 16. And then this is one of the few ordinances that are talked about in this new temple. And tell me what you maybe think it might be. Verse 16, and they shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my table to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. What do you think that might be?
The Lord's table.
I think it's the Lord's table. You know, when we come, we do have a tradition here, and it's the Lord's table every Sunday morning. Do we see that we are there to minister to Him? Now, how do we minister to the Lord? That's an abstract thing. Other than, for me, it's simply to put my whole attention and to tell Him that I love Him and I'm grateful. I don't know if that's enough to minister to Him, but I do get a registration back that He's here, that He's with me. And to keep His charge. What does that mean? There are certain things, brothers and sisters, that when it comes to our walk and our trust with Him are without compromise. We do not compromise. It may cost us our lives. In some parts of the world, it will cost you your life. The Coptics in Egypt are running for their lives. They're leaving the cities of Egypt, running for their lives, with their children in tow. And if I may say, a bit of flesh here, for that we should go to war. Sorry. They're being butchered by an inhumane religion. But anyway, I'm sorry. We are to keep His charge. Well, we need to wind it down, but I do want to just give one more. Lord willing, we will... We'll say a few more things about this because it's so important for us to see where we have come. I want us to see one more, though. Chapter 46, verse 9. And this, I think, will be the most important thing if you hear nothing else. This is actually the burden of my heart, is this verse. Now, when the people, chapter 46, verse 9, but when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by way of the north gate to worship shall go out by way of the south gate. Whoever enters by way of the south gate shall go out by way of the north gate. He shall not return the way of the gate through which he came, but shall go out through the opposite gate. In this city where you and I have come, whenever we meet, we should never leave this place the same person that walked in. We have not come to the city. Well, we have, but we're not taking full advantage of it if we're not a different kind of person, just a little bit. You know, the presence of the Lord, and that alone does it for us. It's not more zeal. It's not more intensity. Some of us are just not wired like that. We're not. Some of us can be very zealous and very talkative. Some of us are very quiet. We will never be evangelists in that sense. But when we've come there, we never leave the same way we came in. We are changed. You know, I was wondering, talk about tradition. I was wondering, gee, that's what we ought to do at the meeting. If you come in that door, you're not allowed to go out. You got to exit another way. Or if you come in that door, you got to go, oh, no, you got to go out the back. How many of us go out the back? None of us go out the back, right? Are we leaving differently today than when we came in? You see, this temple that Ezekiel saw had certain attributes. Whether it's the literal or not is, to me, really irrelevant. What's relevant are the various things that I can see that are part of the new covenant, part of what God has done in our generation, in each generation of God's people. Do I leave the same way I came in? Gosh, I hope not. I hope not. If I do, I'm not the impact of that city. So may the Lord help us. Ye have come. We're not here now. Feasts, all the physical, all the natural. It's been put away. All of it. Every bit of it has been set aside. Now, it's the unseen. I can't see the angels. I can't see God. I can't see the city like I imagine a city is. Yet I'm there. By the grace of God, I'm here. Let's sing 607, and I would like us to sing verse 3 and verse 4. Let's sing verse 3 again.